Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace be yours in abundance. This evening we read from John chapter 1, the 14th verse. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have seen His glory, the glory He has as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God. Friends in Christ, we still love Christmas carols, don't we? We're halfway through the month, getting closer and closer to songs like the one we just sang. And while we haven't seen a whole lot of snow until today, there certainly has been a flurry of Christmas carols on the airwaves. And tonight, I'd like to talk a little bit about I'll Be Home for Christmas, a Christmas carol sung by Bing Crosby, most famously, but I think Michael Bublé comes close. It's a new favorite for me as of like a few hours ago. I didn't realize that I'll Be Home for Christmas is a wartime song. Originally recorded in 1943, in the thick of World War II, it's sung from the perspective of a soldier who's stationed overseas fighting against the enemy in World War II. And it's like he's writing a letter home, and in this message he tells the family he is coming home, so you better prepare. Prepare the holiday. He says in the message he's requesting snow, he requests mistletoe, and presents on the tree. I love that song. But tonight, we have a much bigger homecoming to discuss. Because it's a coming home, a coming to dwell home, not to come away from warfare, but to really get in the thick of it, to save people, to complete the mission, to rescue sinners. It's the homecoming of the Word made flesh, our Advent Lord who makes His home among us. And that's His new name in our text. Our Advent Lord gets a new name. See, in context, John talks first about the Word, and then he talks about how the Word is the light. He talks about how the light came into the world. In fact, the light created the world, and all things were created through the light. And then he says that that light, the Word, is made flesh. It's a new name for Him. Made flesh. He assumes my flesh and blood. He assumes my body and soul. He takes that on. That's what assume technically means in theological wording. He doesn't become an angel. He doesn't become some other magnificent creature. He becomes like you and me. The Word made flesh. He didn't stop being God, for it goes on and says, we have seen His glory. Well, when did John the Evangelist, one of the 12, see the glory of the Word made flesh, the glory of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ proved He was true God in His miracles. Even as a tiny baby, He was capable of making miracles happen, but He set the use of those powers aside for a time. And then John, Peter, and John's brother James got to see Jesus' glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he knew he hadn't stopped being God, but the Word took on flesh, became what He had not been before. He dwelled among us, and literally, the word means to tent among us. He pitched His tent among us and came home for Christmas. Yours, my home. That's what Jesus did. He wrapped himself in human flesh, which is something that the Son of God had never done before in time. This reminds us of God's presence among the children of Israel in the tabernacle. He tented among us, or you could say he tabernacled among us. He made his dwelling among us. This is what the ancient people of Israel in the Old Testament were used to. The Hebrews were used to this tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle dwelled the Most High, the Lord God. He would dwell there. They wouldn't get to see him face to face. But the same God who led them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night came to rest in the most holy place in the tabernacle. And this is what the Lord said to Moses in the book of Exodus 25. Have the Israelites make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. When the tabernacle was completed, Moses reports, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And that's how the book of Exodus ends. The last chapter of Exodus talks about the glory of the Lord filling that tabernacle. Because it signified something. It signified that the Lord was making formal possession of that place, associating himself with the Ark of the Covenant that was within. And in doing so, he verified for those Israelites the covenant was still intact. He still meant what he said on Mount Sinai when he established all of their laws, that he would hold up his end of the bargain for the people, that he would be theirs, the same Lord who brought them up out of Egypt, the same Lord who led them through the wilderness would be their Lord, who would bring them to the doors of the Holy Land again, this time to enter in and take what was rightfully promised to his people. It was important, very important for the Hebrews of that time. And the word tenting among us in the New Testament is no less important. In fact, it's far more important. This new kind of tabernacling among people was going to be much better. This was something far more special. Because the old covenant was gone. It was over. The people have proved they couldn't hold up their end of the bargain. They sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned once again. They doubted and disbelieved. They grumbled and mocked and became frustrated over and over again with the very blessings God was giving them as he brought them through. The devil won that victory. He wins with each sin that people commit. And it's the end of the people if they were left alone in darkness. I think you and I can relate. We've got rules upon rules. Every time you make a rule, well, that means you're expecting people to follow it. And when we make rules for ourselves, well, it's no use unless we follow it. And then we find ourselves breaking even our own rules. Let alone the rules of the world around us. In this time of pandemic, there's more and more rules. I was just talking with someone before the service tonight about how many people adjust their masks, and you're not supposed to do that. And it's difficult because a lot of people just aren't used to the whole masking thing. A lot of people just aren't used to being 6 feet away. It's certainly not how God designed us to be, but here we are in these rules that hem us in. Even at home, we might set up rules just to quarantine from each other if we're feeling at risk or we feel symptomatic or something's coming on. And the government's making new rules. The health departments are making new rules. So many things, we feel so hemmed in. And it's almost like a light is going out. Like we're caught in this darkness with nowhere to turn. I think we can kind of relate to those Old Testament people among whom the Word, the light dwelled. But not in the fullest sense. Not in this way, because never had the Lord dwelled among his people by becoming flesh, by taking on this new name, becoming flesh. Jesus Christ is my flesh, blood, and soul. Such an honor has been confirmed on my flesh, on my blood, on my frame. Martin Luther says about this text that even if I'm not going to heaven, even if I'm not going to be saved, I still drop to my knees when I think of John 1 verse 14, because just the very idea that the Lord became flesh, it's just a distinct honor. It's not a ghost. It's not a phantom. It's not an immaterial spirit. Early false teachers, by the way, suggested that Jesus Christ didn't take on a human soul, but just a human body. But then he wouldn't truly be man. He wouldn't be fully man. And so those teachings were rejected. He's not just an immaterial spirit or a chunk of meat walking around. It was much more than that. Jesus was just like us in every way. Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, chest, stomach, hands, feet. Reminds me of a few books that we read, Theo. Jesus Christ wept and prayed. He slept and he woke. He ate and drank. He was just like you and me in every way. Except the Word made flesh was without sin. Was capable of measuring up to every law of God the Father. Never missed the mark. Always perfect. Did not stop doing everything according to the book of the law. He fulfilled it all. Now I see that God, my Lord, is not angry with me, for he's my flesh and blood. The Word became flesh. For you and me to say that is the equivalent of saying, I am a Christian. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Say it out loud in the stillness of the night. Let it be your light when you doubt and when you're guilty over your sin. Let it cause the devil to rage and his thoughts and devices to fall to pieces. The Word became flesh. He was made man. He is human like I am. For a Christian knows that the essence of what we are as Christians, what makes us a Christian, is not that we keep the law, but that we know where to seek the law as kept. We know where to find the one who has kept the law. It's the Word. Jesus Christ made flesh for you and for me. The song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, it ends on a melancholy note. You know how the song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, ends? It says, I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Ugh. It's like a gut punch if you think about a soldier writing that in a letter home or singing it. Could only dream about it. He couldn't guarantee coming home. The song is impermanent. Well, the tenting of Jesus Christ among us was also not to be permanent. Christ fully deserves to be called the only begotten Son of the Father because he's unique. He's the Son of the Father in a special way that you and I are not. By nature, you and I are objects of wrath. Adopted as sons and daughters and heirs of eternal life by grace. But we can't say we're the only begotten children or child of the Father. We can't say it like that. So it is so comforting to hear Christ say in John 14, where I am, you will be also. Or because I live, you also will live. Or in the book of Revelation, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The permanent and eternal dwelling of God with us is this, his believers with him in heaven. I'm not sure if you'll be home for Christmas, if that's part of your plans, but I can be sure, and I better tell you, that by faith alone, with all of your sins cast aside, because there was one made flesh perfect for you, one day you will be home at Christ's second coming. In the name of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, amen.